Oh, yep.
You are listening to Punk News Podcast, episode 633. Sam is back from Nihon. Let's roll. And we are back. Sammy B, you're back from the land of the rising sun. Did you have fun? Did you have wild record shopping adventures? Did you have culinary delights? Did you get chased by small deer?
I got all of the above except for the last one. And I was very thankful that I stopped my husband from buying me deer crackers, because if not, I literally was going to become a meme.
Well, Sam, what was it briefly? Because I know you could spend days talking about the record hunting in Japan, but what was it like hunting for records in?
Oh, it is amazing. Like, it's almost like, you know, you just need to know where to go for records and what you like. Thankfully, I've been to Japan before. And, you know, the last time I went to Japan, we spent like too many days record shopping. So this time we kind of narrowed it down and just hoped that the record shops were like open. So of course, when we went, I made sure to hit up Dish Union, Tower Records in Shibuya. We were in Osaka, so we went to Time Bomb. I think it's like Disc and Destroy or something. There's like a really tiny record shop there. So I primarily came back with J-Metal records. My husband came back with some punk stuff. We did come back with a very heavy bag of records. So it's great. I love it out there. I do have video footage, which I'm gonna send to shortly, of men getting chased around by deers, because I find it really delightful, and kind of pointing at how stupid they are for feeding the deers, especially when the government says do not feed the damn deers. But anyways, yeah, I'm back, and I'm way less jet lagged than ever.
Sam, were the record stores mostly new records, mostly used records, and how were the prices? Because Japan used to be famous that the Primo records are ultra expensive, but if it has like one tiny nick, then it's basically like USA bargain prices. Does that still hold the same, or has it changed post-COVID and post-mega vinyl boom?
I think most record stores have a very good mix of both. So most of the record stores I went to, I was able to find new, and I was also able to find used. I would have to say that they do a great job at labeling everything. You know, like they may even have like their own like little obi strips just for like purposes of the store, so that, or like a little tag on them that may give you grading, or like, you know, why it costs the way that it does. I would have to say, the last time I was in Japan, it was 2019, so before the pandemic. And, you know, I would have to say the prices of the records have actually leveled off, I think. Mm. I personally think that it is because of Discogs, because, you know, Discogs is a worldwide website. And I feel like a lot of the pricier records that I found out there, because I did find some like what I would call like $100 records. They were $100, but they weren't like $200, you know. I would say that they were a little bit more fair to what Discogs prices are now, which is nice. But I like, you know, minus the Tower Records. I also went to a Record Nerd, which is in Shibuya as well. That their claim to fame is like hardcore and pop punk. I love that record store, actually. They actually put shows together and stuff like that. I do think that everything is pretty fair, especially since like most of the records are quote unquote imports to them, because, you know, They don't get it necessarily directly from Japan. They either get it from Europe or the States. I think like a couple years ago, they like did special Discord records, like Obiscript ones. I was looking for those and there were none to be found. So hopefully they're in good homes now.
Actually, last question. I'm interviewing you. What was the bootleg situation? Did you see more bootlegs, fewer bootlegs? What was it like record bootleg wise?
I definitely saw bootlegs. Because there was sometimes I would pick something up and be like, what is this? It's definitely not as bad as Europe. Yeah, European bootlegs. Amsterdam is so bad. In Copenhagen, I think I saw so many bootlegs. But there was definitely like one or two, but you know, if you're savvy enough, you could figure out it's a bootleg.
Fair enough. Well, anyways, welcome back from Japan, Sam. And we're also here with M. M, what's happening? What's going on in Canada?
Woo! I haven't been chased by any deer, which is
yay!
Yeah, I'm winning in that regard for sure, but. Yeah, had a really cool interview with Harry of Death Goals. They're a awesome UK-based queercore duo, and their new album, A Garden of Dead Flowers, just came out, and it fucking rips. Like, oh my god, I'm so glad it's out, because now I can actually talk about it. And yeah, like, if you want to know more insights, go read my interview. But yeah, so a lot of music. That's been what's happening up here.
Well, and not to drag on too long, but Sam, you and I had a momentous occasion in that we met each other. Well, not met each other. We had a reunion. What was it, last Saturday at the Philly Record Freakout, which I organized and hosted. At any rate, Sam, did you have a good time with the Freakout? Was it what you thought it would be? And what did you think of my excellent music mix, which you can now listen to on the Punk News Podcast channel?
Your excellent music mix was actually very excellent. I was actually thinking to myself, like, on the day of, I was like, who the hell put this together? I was like, is this house music or something? I had no idea it was you. So kudos, you actually put on that I liked. I had a great time. I was still jet lagged when you saw me. I remembered a pretzel getting thrown at me, which I was like, what happened? And then all of the vendors were super, super nice.
Yeah,
and talked a lot. I'm not too much of a talker. But I did appreciate.
Oh, I know what Sam's referring to. There were a lot of talkers.
Yeah, you put me with so many talkers, but that's fine. Because Chris, my husband, can be a talker. So he was like yammering it up with them, and I was like, "Good, please talk to him. I'm too sleepy right now to need to converse right now." Yeah, I'm actually really happy because we had a lot of records like sitting around in the house that got to go from our personal collection. And I actually had a friend that had records that he didn't need because I think he's moving soon. So we managed to bring that out there, and a lot of it did move and hopefully went to really good homes. I actually had a couple of records that got like really bad jackets. So I like made jackets for them, and most of them went to good homes, hopefully. So I'm happy that someone has something that I created out there in the world, hopefully sitting in their collection and being appreciated.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the record Freakout was a success. Everyone had a good time. A lot of records were for sale, and there was a lot of sellers there. The next one will be July 20, and it's going to be even bigger. But before that, Summer Soiree 6, May 26th. It's moving closer and closer to sellout, people. So don't wait. Be sure to buy your tickets, especially since the Dwarves are now posting the limited edition records that you can only get at the show. Which are pretty cool. And so that's May 26th at Philomoka, The Dwarves, Zorn, Danbert of Chumbawamba, Vixen 77, and the Monkey Erg Band. Now, let's talk about this week's news. It was happening this week. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced its 2023 inductees, and yet again, we have our annual bashing of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The bands that got in this year were Kate Bush, Rage Against the Machine, Missy Misdemeanor Elliott. Does Missy Elliott still go by Missy Misdemeanor Elliott, or has she dropped the misdemeanor?
I think misdemeanor is gone. I think it's just Missy Elliott now. I think the time and place for misdemeanors, you know,
passed. Well, Missy Elliott, Sheryl Crow, Willie Nelson, George Michael, and the Spinners. The Musical Excellence Award went to Chaka Khan, Al Cooper, and Bernie Taupin. Of course, the lyric writer for Elton John. And the Influence Award went to DJ Kool Herc and Link Ray. Meanwhile, and Don Cornelius will get the Ahmet Ertegun Award. Is Don Cornelius, I'm not trying to be a dick, is Don Cornelius still alive? I didn't think he was, but maybe I'm wrong. Let's take a quick look. Don Cornelius,
I hope so,
is not alive. He died in 2012. Oh, I thought he was passed away.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah,
that sucks.
But the bands that did not get in were maybe just as equally shocking. Bands that did not get in were the White Stripes, Joy Division, and New Order as a combo attack, and they still couldn't get him. Cyndi Lauper, Warren Zevon, Soundgarden, Tribe Called Quest, and Iron Maiden. And out of all those bands that didn't get in, the biggest stunk was being made by, of course, Iron Maiden, particularly Bruce Dickinson, the most insufferable lead singer in all of music, which is saying something. You know, we have the same thing every year. Sam, do you think the Rock Hall made the right choice about who to let in and who not to let in, or were there any big gaffes here? And is this discussion even interesting at all anymore? Because now I see for a while everyone was like, you know, slapping on the Rock Hall. But now, like, the thing is, it's like people that complain about the Rock Hall are even worse than the Rock Hall, which I don't agree with, actually. But Sam, where do you stand? What do you think of these selections?
So I get that they made this entire museum. I get that, you know, they have, because this, I think, started like in 86 or something like that. So it's only been like, you know, what, 30 something years, like probably as long as I've been alive. Right.
Yeah.
So like,
I think 88 was the first year, actually, I believe, something like that, or maybe 91, right around there.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So like, fine. Like, if you feel like you need to put people in your list of fame, right? Because I also do think that this is subjective, because music is subjective to the eye of the listener, right? Or the ears of the listener. I personally think that Rage Against the Machine and Missy Elliott definitely deserves to be in there. I also believe that Sheryl Crow and Willie Nelson does, because Willie Nelson's Willie Nelson, also freaking like old as hell. Sheryl Crow, sure, she's also like, you know, a pop icon from once. I think, does she like not write songs now for other people? Whatever.
She has written songs for other people, including Stevie Nicks.
Exactly. So like, I get all of that. I did follow the Rage thing, because essentially, like, I do like Rage, and it's funny that, like, you know, they kind of accepted being inducted, even though, like, you know, they pretty much sang about like anti-corporations and, like, you know, all of this. I do like the fact that this is kind of like a popularity contest, right? Right. People vote in, like, people vote to get in. Now, that doesn't mean we're the ones voting, because I don't know how many Punk News listeners actually care to vote. I'm sure it's like a lot of people in God knows where, like maybe middle America. I should
cut in, and that the way people are voted in is there's a panel of people selected by the Rock Hall that vote. There's also what's called the audience vote, however, exactly. or the right. public vote. However, the public vote is actually a minuscule amount. It's about 1-2% of the total vote. So it actually doesn't make that much of a difference.
Okay, if that's the case, then does this even matter? Yeah. I also do think that, like, if you ask my opinion, Joy Division and freaking New Order should be there. It's even together. I just listened to a podcast about them talking about New Order. So yeah. And I also believe that Cyndi Lauper should be there. Definitely. Maybe even Iron Maiden. I don't listen to Iron Maiden, but a lot of people love them. So I don't know, like, if this is the end all be all for these bands, or maybe they'll come back up on the ballot like next year or something, or in 2 years. Because I would not say that they are not worthy of being on some weird list. what do you think?
I was so surprised Joy Division and New Order didn't get in. Like, I don't like how they packaged them together, because I understand why they did, but I don't like it. They should have been separate. But like, come on, it's Joy Division, it's New Order. They had such an impact on rock music, on punk music, on all sorts of stuff. So like, I was so surprised they didn't get in. But yeah, like Rage Against the Machine, like that's awesome. Was this their third year, their second year? Like, maybe their fourth year? Like, I don't know how many times, but they've been nominated a couple times. So it was great to see them get in. And yeah, like, I read their statement too, and that was really funny. Just the, like, yep. Well, what was it like? It's a surprising trajectory that led us here. It was really interesting because it was like the history kind of the band, and then now we're here. And that was pretty rad.
Well, it speaks very much to them, you know? They've been a band that has always had social commentary towards everything, especially political things. And, you know, yes, a lot of people on the site thinks this is a freaking silly thing, right? This stupid museum is silly. But I would have to say, I'm sure some of the people complaining about it on the site, if they had the opportunity to go to the Hall of Fame itself just as a museum, they'd probably like be Instagramming the entire thing. Like, because, you know, it has become this like institution, I guess, right? And but it's also like, we want to see representation that we like on in this place. And you know, I think that's what makes it this list very elitist in a way, but then yet again, isn't all museums kind of elitist?
That's a good point.
Yeah, actually, very well said. Yeah. Aren't all museums somewhat elitist? Very true. A museum is almost elitist by definition. You know what I mean? I can find a lot of flaws with this list, but it is kind of hard to argue. I mean, well, actually, it's easy to argue with it, but at least there's some merit for most of the things here. Kate Bush, certainly very important overall, and pretty artsy, which is cool. Reds Against the Machine, I'm a fan. I'm not a huge fan, but they definitely revolutionized rock, modern popular rock in the 90s for sure. I mean, from like 93 to like 96, 97, Rage was probably the biggest rock band in North America, and you could argue they're not even a rock band, that's for a hip hop band, or they're both, you know, whatever. Missy Elliott definitely revolutionized hip hop. She wasn't the first, but she was one of the first, and certainly one of the most interesting and bombastic female MCs to kind of be an MC first and not a woman first, if that makes any sense. You know, she definitely was an MC that wasn't like, I mean, like, you know, there's Roxanne. UTFO, TLC, that they're all very feminine by definition, which is cool and fine. But Missy Elliott was kind of one of the first MCs that was female to say, I'm an MC. I guess before there's Queen Latifah. So, you know, anyway, they're both cool. Sheryl Crow, Sheryl Crow should be in. She's a great songwriter and a cool performer. Although I think there's some people that didn't get in that probably should have gotten in before her, and I think she should have gotten a little later. Willie Nelson, you can't argue with that. Honestly, Willie Nelson should have been in 30 years ago. I don't know why he's in now. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of ridiculous. Like, Willie Nelson is one of the all-time greatest country people ever. One of the all-time, like, either the Rock Hall is the good music hall or it's the money-making hall. Willie Nelson is in both sides. You know, like, you know, like, why isn't Willie in? That's kind of crazy. I'm honestly glad they got him in while he's still out there performing and stuff, so at least he can appreciate it. Spinners should be in. They're one of the all-time great soul acts from the 70s. But that being said, did Spinners revolutionize music? Did they really change anything, or are they just really good at soul? And they probably should be in eventually, but like I said, a couple other people probably should get in first that I'm going to mention. George Michael, I mean, everyone knows my stance with pop stars. He's got like three big hits, and I think all three are kind of bad. I can't stand Last Christmas. I can't stand the Jitterbug or whatever that song is. Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. I hate that song. And I guess that's the only two songs he has. I'm Never Gonna Again, Dance Again, Not the Way I Dance with You. Is that George Michael?
I don't know.
You know the song, I think, Sam, so. Right? I'm Never Gonna Dance Again, Not the Way I Dance with You. Do, 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 do. Is that George Michael? Let's see. I'm Never Gonna Dance. It is George Michael. Careless Whisper. Yeah. So anyway,
wait, hold on. John, can we just do a Christmas episode of you singing like that?
Yes, we can.
It's a pageant. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should do, maybe this Christmas we should do like a karaoke thing. That's not a bad idea.
That'd be fun.
That would be so bad, but yes, okay.
So, you know, George Michael, he's a pop star. He's a manufactured pop star. I, you know, over the past 15 years now, we've decided to say, oh, we're going to treat pop stars like legitimate artists. And many pop stars are legitimate artists. Cyndi Lauper, which we're going to talk about. But did George Michael really do anything interesting? Did he change pop music? He didn't really do any of that. He just is just a pop star, a manufactured pop star. So, I mean, I don't know. If it's the record, once again, if it's the Artistic Development and Influence Hall of Fame, no. If it's the We Sold Lots of Records Hall of Fame, yes. Now, people that didn't get in, White Stripes, they should get in because just like Rage Against the Machine, they revolutionized rock music in the 90s. And frankly, White Stripes were probably the last gigantic rock band before rock kind of became the minority in the pop music world. All that being said, though, I mean, I think it's okay for White Stripes not getting this year because there's a lot of people that should get in before them, namely Joy Division. There's no excuse for Joy Division not to. George Michael over Joy Division? Like, get out of here. You're like, Joy Division is so much more revolutionary, clever, and interesting than George Michael. George Michael sold a lot more records, but Joy Division is one of the first bands to combine rock and electronic music, and as is New Order. They essentially created post-punk. I mean, you could say, no, John, there's Gang of Four and Wire. So they're one of the bands that created post-punk, but 95% of bands that are, quote, post-punk bands are copying Joy Division. So, I mean, there's no reason why those bands shouldn't be in. Cyndi Lauper definitely should be in because she's a pop star, but she's a pop star that kind of subverted the concept of pop star. Her first album, She's Unusual, even says it in the title, or She's So Unusual, and plus it's probably my favorite or second favorite pop album in the Madonna pop definition. Warren Zevon, legendary songwriter, definitely should be in. Really, he was one of the last, I guess, great singer-songwriters and really clever lyrics. He really should be in. Soundgarden, I don't care. Tribe Called Quest, legendary hip-hop group, they should be in too. Iron Maiden, just because Bruce Dickinson is a jerk, I don't think he should be in. and also just because Judas Priest, although they're not like super in, I think Iron Maiden should not be in. And honestly, there's other metal bands that are better and more revolutionary than Iron Maiden, although Iron Maiden has sold a lot of records. So anyways, it's tough for me to say any of the picks that did get in shouldn't be in. I think they all should be in, but I think, you know, definitely New Order, Cyndi Lauper, and Warren Zevon should get in before a few of the ones that did. So I guess it's not a terrible list. It's not the list I would have picked. But yet again, it underscores that even the Rock Hall isn't sure what it's supposed to be, except that they are sure what they're supposed to be. They're the money-making Hall of Fame, and that they want to make as much money as they can. So they purposely pick acts that will allow them to maintain some credibility while others that have mass appeal that will keep them making money. And that's what it is. Bro.
But they have good hot dogs and they have good cookies.
I will say their exhibits are – I was there once like 25 years ago. It was pretty cool. I'll give it that. It was pretty cool. Here's something else that's pretty cool. Rancid. They've released a new song called Don't Make Me Do It. It's off their upcoming album, Tomorrow Never Comes, which is the first Rancid album that I've pre-ordered since Let the Dominoes Fall, which I'm still scarred about ordering the Mega Deluxe Edition and that album just being insufferable. However, Adam White and I used to have this joke in that like, When a band doesn't know what to do, what should they do? And the answer is do a Rancid 5, which is just make a hardcore album that's really fast. And so, you know, Rancid's been flattering the past number of years. They've been putting out some mediocre records and a lot of side projects with some great tracks and some really bad tracks. And so it's really seemed like Rancid didn't know what they're supposed to be doing. So what did Rancid do? They did a Rancid 5. It sounds like they're just going to do a straight up mega fast hardcore record, which is the exact thing that I want from Rancid. I will say the two tracks, neither of them are maybe quite as good as the best tracks on Rancid 5, but I don't care. I think these are at least really good or good enough. And for the first time in a long, long time, I'm excited about new Rancid. And more, I believe you are not a Rancid fan.
I am not a Rancid fan, and I do not understand the hype about this song or
Really, about this song? You don't think the song's cool? All 58 seconds of it or whatever it is?
Like, it's fast. And I mean, that's good. Yeah. I like fast songs, but like.
Yeah, I do like fast songs.
Other fast songs that are more exciting.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I was not wowed. Rancid has yet to wow me. That's what I have to say.
Well, I will say that this song isn't necessarily a blow you out of the room song. It's a pretty good song, not a great song. But I guess maybe I've got lower expectations for Rancid because they put out so many bad records over the past decade that it seems like they might put out like a solid record that I will actually listen to more than once and not have to suffer through terribly like I did with Let the Dominoes Fall, which was so boring. And that, and the record that Honor is All We Know, I pre-ordered it and then they streamed it and I undid my pre-order. I was so like, oh my God.
Oh,
Sam Barrett, are you a Rancid fan? And what do you think of this track?
I am. I will listen to Rancid. I would not say I would listen to them all the time. Because I didn't like grow up like listening to Rancid as I was getting into punk. They weren't not like one of those like bands where I'm like, oh, I completely love.
Me neither.
Yeah. But I do understand why people are flipping out. I do understand out there, like, you know, the especially since, you know, this is getting put out on Epitaph and like, you know, there's just some people out there that follows like, you know, big punk labels like Fat and Epitaph and will eat up everything that they put out. So I get it. I would have to say that the song isn't bad. I do see this meshing in with their catalog because I did see them live once. So that's nice. I would have to say that the video that they made is very standard.
Very Rancid-ish.
Yeah, like there's no storyline. It's almost like they were at a band practice that's in a fancier place that's not a dump, you know. And there's like some weird filter put on top of it. So I get that. I almost kind of wish that there was a story to it a little bit, like make it artsy, make it pretentious. I don't know. Like, why is Tomorrow Never Coming? Give me a story.
Well, pretty much every Rancid video is just Rancid either playing in their practice spot or hanging out in Berkeley. And that's like every Rancid video ever. So anyways, listen, I think it's cool, man. And, you know, I've been busting on Tim for like 5 or 6 years, but honestly, I think Tim might be having a renaissance as we see with this next story is Hellcat Records have released their second single in their 2023 singles clubs. And it doesn't look like it's going to be physical singles, although it might, we're not sure. But the first single, of course, was Doom Regulator, which is Tim and Jesse White, which was cool. The new single is this band Rockstone Rockers. But that's not a band. Like it's kind of annoying. What it really is, it's Cecile from Jamaica. Cecile was a pretty famous, relatively famous Jamaican singer in Jamaica in the early 2000s. And the interesting thing about Cecile is that she was the bad girl of dancehall in the early 2000s. At Punk News, I posted two of her big singles, Talk, Talk, and Ride or Die. I've actually played Ride or Die at a couple of the soirees, summer soirees in between bands because I love that track. But it's interesting that Tim chose her, I guess, to be. I mean, so anyway, I don't think Rockstone Rockers is a real band. I think it's Tim's friends, like most of these tracks, and Cecile. And I think that's very cool. I will say Tim is real talent. It's cool how Tim has repeatedly gone to Jamaican artists and kind of crossed them back over into punk because punk and reggae are so connected. It's very similar to the On You sound system or Adrian Sherwood in the UK, that where, you know, Adrian Sherwood takes these Jamaican legends and kind of builds a new sound for them and kind of gives it a different perspective to a different audience. And that's exactly what Tim has done multiple times. He did it with Cecile. He did it with Jimmy Cliff. He did it with Tipper Irie. He did it with Buju Banton, ignoring however you may feel about Buju Banton because Buju is Buju. But it is cool how Tim is very good at blending these genres. Like, a lot of people try to like blend rap and hip hop and it sounds real bad. The only two bands that have ever done it successfully are Rage and Beastie Boys. And everyone else is terrible at it. So it is cool that Tim is able to blend true Jamaican music with, I guess, punk or punk ska. And so I really dug this track. I did think it was interesting that this track is very retro. I wonder what Cecile thinks of it, because to us non-Jamaicans, we're like, oh, it's cool. Cecile, well, most of the punks already probably know who Cecile is, but she's kind of she is a big deal in Jamaica, or was. They're like, oh, okay, they're doing ska, but from her perspective, it'd be like someone from, I don't know, say Brazil or something, you know what I mean? Like very, they're traditionally, they've always been very, the dancehall people love. Can you guys hear me?
Now I can.
Okay.
Yeah, you were gone for a bit.
What's the last thing you heard?
Dancehall people like Brazil.
You okay. Went on a rant.
Yeah, I'm going to. Anyway, the point being is Tim is real cool at picking, you know, these Jamaican artists that the punk audience probably doesn't know a whole lot about and introducing them to the punk audience and really, you know, paying respect and doing it in a very thoughtful, delicate, specific way. And he's real good at it. I thought this track was real cool. I would love for this to be a real band, but I think this is just another, like, Tim's, I've got an idea. And then he just does it once and runs away. Like, I don't feel as though, like, I would definitely buy this album if they make an album. But I feel like this is just like a one-off thing. And on one side, it's annoying that Tim says, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that. It's like, Tim, if you just focused on one or two things, you'd, like, make the best thing ever or a really cool thing. But on the other hand, it is cool that Tim is still just exploding with creativity, and he's doing all these different projects, most of which are at least pretty good. Sammy B, did you dig this track? What do you think of Tim spreading love around? And what did you think of Cecile's early 2000s hitters, Ride or Die and Talk Talk? The song about where Cecile, the bad girl of early 2000s dancehall, sings about her friend, told her about her friends, the size of her boyfriend's wang, so she decided to steal her boyfriend, her friend's boyfriend.
So okay. I think that Tim definitely uses music as a way to get things out there, because if he's consistently moving from project to project, maybe this is just what he does and this is what he just likes to do. I think that makes this project maybe special, because maybe you'll never see anything else from this in the next, you know, 20-ish years or whatever, 10 years, whatever. So Orange Street is pretty rad. I'm not necessarily always into this type of music, but I do like the fact that they, like, you know, got a Jamaican artist, and, you know, they integrated her vocals into the song. I find it very, very creative, and I think it works very well together. I don't think I'll be listening to this on a regular, because that's just not what Sam does, but that's fine. I listened a little bit of Ride or Die and Talk Talk. Talk Talk is great. It's freaking great. I'm all about TMI. I talk about TMI too much, so I understand what's going on here. Plus, Talk Talk literally sounds like, you know, dance and disco a little bit.
It does.
So yeah. So I'm really, like, you know, I, yes, had a phase where I was really, really into dance music, like, you know, like radio dance music. So this, like, literally fit right in there. Hence, like, I literally was thinking to myself, so what is the time frames of these, like, you know, songs and how this fits together? Because, you know, it almost sounds like she can navigate different genres just with her vocals. I don't even think she's doing anything crazy with her vocals. It might be production. It might just be the lyrics that, you know, she sings and how she sings it or projects it. But I might listen to more Talk Talk later. We'll see. I'll let you know. And what did you think about this?
Yeah, the first one, the newest song, the Orange Street one, like, that's pretty cool. It sounds really neat. I like the vibes of it. And yeah, like her voice kicks ass. Like kudos to Tim for, you know, like doing this and introducing artists that like, I personally, I had no idea about Cecile. So like, that's really cool. And same thing, talk rules. Like that is the best. Like the subject matter is hilarious and it's just, it's so catchy and it's just fun and dancey and awesome. And yeah, Ride or Die was a little bit different. I was surprised at like how all three songs had such a different like vibe with the like the whole thing, the instrumentation and her like vocal abilities. So yeah, like super rad. I hope more does come out with like Rockstone Rockers because that'd be really cool.
I hope so too. We will see. But if I had to pick between Doom Regulator and Rockstone Rockers, I'm picking Rockstone Rockers. But if I can trade that in and get Classics of Love and Rockstone Rockers, I'll take that. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do one more story, then we'll take a break. Gaslight Anthem. They've released their first new song in 9 years. It's called Positive Charge. Sam, was this song a positive charge for you? And are you a Gaslight Anthem fan? And if the listeners don't, I don't even know if the listeners know or not, because this is, you know, honestly, way back, like back in the day, Gaslight Anthem was the punk news band. Like everybody at punk news, Gaslight Anthem was their band, except for me. but they were like, people like freaking loved it. It was like, I don't know if there's a really, I mean, they were the new hot water music, I guess is how you could phrase it. I don't know if there's a band now.
I wouldn't say that.
You don't think, you don't, I mean, in popularity wise, you don't think so?
I personally think that hot water music is still, or core, I would classify or core and or some of the ex-punk musers, I'm saying ex-punk musers, spirit animal. I would not say that about Gaslight Anthem.
You don't think Gaslight Anthem is orcore?
No, I do think that Gaslight Anthem is orcore, but I would not say that they are the ex-punk musers' spirit animal.
Hmm, interesting. Well,
I think, cool. Yeah.
So what do you think of the track then, Sam, by all means?
Okay, so I was one of those crazy lunatics that was so into Gaslight Anthem so badly. But it was also, they, you know, I'm in the New York area and they're from the New Brunswick area. So they're always.
I think they're from like Virginia or something.
No, they were from like Jersey. Well, they're still from
Jersey.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, his whole thing is Jersey. His whole thing is he's Bruce Springsteen. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Bruce Springsteen and then add in the Tom Petty thing. So they were always around here. Like they were always around. I fell in love with Sink or Swim. It's so bad how much I love that. I also love 59 Sounds so much. I like American Slang. Handwritten, there was good songs. I like to call Get Hurt But Hurt. But that is what that is. You take it as whatever that is. So this song, they have been in hiatus. And there has been moments where I'm like, I miss them. And I know Brian Fallon has been playing out in Jersey because he plays this venue Crossroads all the time, which is right over the Staten Island, Jersey bridges. Like stints of like solo sessions with them, and they always sell out. Like everyone in Jersey laps that up. I haven't gone yet, but I'm actually like I think the last time I saw them, like my husband was so pissed off at seeing them because he lost his like really expensive like earbud thingies, and he was just annoyed. And I think at that point he was like over gaslight. I understand being over gaslight. I'm not, like, they announced playing with Misfits. I did not buy tickets to that. I'm okay not seeing them again because I don't think that they are going to ever go back to Sink or Swim. maybe I'm just one of those old freaking dinosaurs that will not let it go. Doesn't care about their progress. But this song, Positive Charge, didn't really do a lot for me. I heard hints of old Gaslight in there. I also heard hints of, you know, newer Gaslight when they broke up in there, aka Butt Hurt or Get Hurt, whatever you want to call it, in there. I did not think that the music video was particularly interesting, which I don't think helped.
You think they should have had them in a practice studio and they put like a heavy black and white and gray filter over the top? You think that would have helped?
I don't think that would have helped at all. A lot of, like, you know, my thing about them is like their earlier shitty production, like music videos, they had a story to, like, you know, they had something to say, even though, yes, Brian Fallon was singing to every Maria and every, like, you know, Diana or whatever, there was always like a girl's name in there. But like, I kind of like that about them. I kind of like that they had this like vintage, like, you know, aesthetic with their videos. I just don't feel it with this. Maybe this is just them coming out as like, hey, we're never going to be the same, and this is what we are now, which is very possible because some of the guys in the band actually had other projects while they were on a hiatus. So we will see. I don't know. I'm not writing them off as, oh, this sucks yet. Because I do kind of have this like little tiny matchstick like flame somewhere in my heart that hopes that I'm going to get something out of this because I'm selfish, because aren't we all selfish? But I'm not done with Gaslight Anthem yet. I think we have too much history for me to break up with them. And what do you think about this?
I had not heard Gaslight Anthem. Like, it was a name that I know, like, obviously, but I never listened to them. So I listened to this song for like the podcast and I didn't make it through the whole song. It just like I understand why people like it, I guess. I haven't listened to the old stuff, so I don't know like what they're coming from, but it just made me sad. Like, it just bummed me out. It was just like, ooh, this is uncomfortable. This is like a bad type of melancholy. I don't enjoy this. So I stopped listening. There is like, I don't know, just wasn't my thing. Wasn't my cup of tea, this one. John, thoughts on Gaslight?
Well, you've got mixed reviews. Well, there you have it.
John, rather not say.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's gone again.
Yep, I think John's disappeared.
And we are back. And that was a song that we just played. Was it Gaslight Anthem or was it Cecile? And Moore's going to pick. We'll find out. Let's talk about, let's see here. I know everyone wants to know my opinion on Gaslight Anthem, but listen, Sam and Anna have said it all. What could I add? Oh, here's something I can talk about, though, that everyone freaking hated and I thought was good. Is it me or is it them? And we'll decide. Hollywood Vampires, which is Alice Cooper, Joe Perry, that's cool, I'm down with that, and Johnny Depp, why? it's a super group, and they basically do covers. They've released two albums. The first album was all covers, except for two tracks, maybe, and honestly, it's probably my second or third favorite covers album ever. It's a lot of fun. It's Alice Cooper basically covering his friends that have passed away. Mark Bolan of T-Rex, Jimi Hendrix, actually, they cover Led Zeppelin, Bonham died. Okay, it's John Bonham, and other people. So the first album is actually really enjoyed the first album. The second one was a mix of covers and originals, and of course, one of the covers was "You Can't Put Your Arms Around a Memory" by Johnny Thunder. You're like, oh, that's cool, man! I can't wait to hear Al singing that. And of course, it's Johnny Depp singing that because Johnny Depp just wants to be Johnny Thunders, which makes sense. on many levels. At any rate, so the second album was not that good. They're going to release a new live album. It's called Live in Rio, and it is being touted as their first live album. But that's a lie! It's not their first live album. Liars! You lying liars! Because the second album, when issued in Japan, where Sam just was, if you bought the second album in Japan, it came with a double extra CD live album recorded live in Rio. But here's where things get weirder. That double CD is listed as Live in Rio 2015. This live album is listed as Live in Rio 2016. So is it the same show that was already released in Japan, or is it like the next year? I could probably solve this by Googling Setlist FM, but I just haven't done it. At any rate, so they released a video for My Generation, and I thought it was cool and fun. I don't think it's groundbreaking, but I think it's a lot of fun to hear Alice Cooper cover The Who, and I think he does it better than The Who. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty good. I'm digging this. And the commenters, not that we should give them any credence. And Sam and Em and I actually got tangled up in something on Twitter regarding that very issue.
We did?
Yeah. I together, not you and I at Loggerhead. So you and I.
Oh, yes.
So at any rate.
Yes.
I thought it was just kind of cool. And like everyone freaking like hated it. Em, you be the judge. Is this awesome? Absolutely terrible, or just okay? Like, is it as bad as the commenter said it was? I was genuinely surprised. Like, I thought like we wouldn't get like any comments. So I thought this should be like an article that has no comments and just fades away. But it got like, wow, like dozens of comments here, and they all hit me, and I thought it was good. Em, you tell me.
Okay, so I used to really like Hollywood Vampires. I thought they were really cool. They have the last vampire, which is Christopher Lee, saying a poem over like some spooky music. And it's really, really, really super cool. And then everything happened with Johnny Depp. And when everything happened with Johnny Depp, I'm like, nope. So stopped listening to it completely because I don't want to support that. I don't want any of that garbage, you know, around me. So that was... I didn't watch the video for this. I've heard their version of My Generation before and whatever, but it's just, I can't with Johnny Depp's involvement. It's just, it's too, it's icky, you know?
It's showy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that's my answer. I think that some of the commenters were on that page where it was like, oh, well, you know, Johnny Depp's involved, like, you know, kind of thing, which I understand. I totally get. One thing with the comments with this was like, oh, well, how about we just go to another website and stuff? And it's like, we cover a lot more stuff than a lot of the websites you mentioned. Well, so
my response is go to some other website. I get out of here. I don't want you. I don't want these people here. Like, go ahead. You know what I mean? Oh, I see.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do I keep coming here? Go away. We don't want you. I'm dead serious. You know what I mean?
But yeah, Sam, what's your take?
These are vampires that needs to be slayed. I'm pretty sure they're vampires. I never see them in the sunlight, you know. They're clearly in this thing in the dark. Johnny Depp is weirdo. So I did listen to half of this, and I'm sorry, John, was not impressed. It sounds like, okay, you're just screaming, and there's a celebrity, you know, there trying to be super ego-y, I guess. Like, you know, I don't know. So I think that Johnny Depp needs to be slayed. and maybe disappear. About the website thing, I'm with John. If you don't like punk news as it is, there's multiple other places now. Wasn't the case like what 20 years ago, right?
But to be fair, Sam, the number of websites now is fewer than it was in say like 8 years ago.
Yes, but at least there's one more than us. True. So you have a choice of going to Brooklyn Vegan or like Metal Injection or wherever fits your prerogative, you can go there. Because I'm pretty sure our news is yeah, like it, we're doing our best covering as much as we can. We're also doing our best covering cool new things that we find. So you kind of have, especially with the influx of social media, you know, you're kind of getting a whole bunch of information from a whole bunch of places anyways. You're not just getting information from Funk News. I would have to say 20 years ago, like my husband followed Punk News like religiously, like every morning he checked Punk News for the last day's thing. Like that's literally how he found out about Gaslight Anthem. If you want to go full circle here. Okay. And, you know, I've talked to many people and they're like, you know, Punk News was the first place I would go to find out what is happening because we didn't have Twitter. We didn't have Facebook, you know, like to find out who's touring and where they're going and like, how can I see them or, you know, what album's coming out. You know, I was like, we have many, many places to go. You don't have to come here and be negative about anything. I personally don't even read most of the comments and I don't check my Twitter because Sam's mental health is better than it needs to be better than your negativity and call me selfish for that. But not into these vampires. I'm usually into other vampires, maybe vampires from Staten Island I'm into. If you get that reference, we should be friends. But anyways, these vampires, not so much.
Well, I'm just as guess that Anthem took a beating. Now me, the Hollywood vampires are taking a beating. Well, I do like this track. I don't care about Johnny Depp. I will say, you know, you see Alice up there, see Joe Perry, you're like, yeah, they're rocking out the rock stars. And you see Johnny Depp and you're like, there's some guy playing pretend. You know what I mean? So anyways, I like it. I think it's cool how Alice, as much stuff as he's put out, there's always something cool coming out. Even if it's not the greatest, sometimes it's just kind of cool. Sometimes it's really cool. So anyways, I'm down with it. I think it's cool. Sam and I hated it, so fine. Whatever. Whatever, man. And
but we respect about... you.
well, that's better than most of the commenters. Sam, I mean, M, tell us about Harsh Garbage.
Yeah. Okay. So Harsh are a Calgary-based punk band, and they are super cool because they do all sorts of like just, you know, awesome punk music that just rips. And it's when you're in the mood for that, you got to turn on Harsh. They're catchy, they're fun, they're aggressive. Like, so they released a new song called Garbage. And I think one of the best lines from the song is, like bananas in the freezer, one day I'll be bread, which rocks. And it's like, you know, everything's garbage, but some garbage is okay. And, you know, like stuff like that. And it's just like, it's a fun take on, it's a good message where it's, yeah, not everything has to be perfect all the time. Sometimes things are going to be rough and going to be garbage and whatever, but exactly, like you're going to make those rotten bananas into really, really tasty banana bread. You're going to like make the best lemonade you possibly can out of like, garbage juice, you know, like it's great. And I'm looking forward to hearing more from them. I just thought it was fun. And I love when like Canadian punk bands I haven't heard of like show up like randomly on my social media and it's like, hey, I'm gonna check you out. And it's like, oh, sick, you sound really cool. So just love when stuff like that happens. It makes my day. What did you guys think of Harsh?
I actually like this kind of has, I was actually shocked that this was something that M found. that like it, and because it's not like super noisy, like with fuzzy stuff in it. It's not like it is female fronted, which is like, you know, a very M thing, I guess. but like, you know, it almost had kind of like almost like a fat punk sound to it a little bit, which like I was kind of like, that's not really what M listens. I was like, M does not listen to really a lot of fat bands. There was one riff in it. I thought that the lyrics was very, very interesting. Like I did catch the banana thing and I was like, oh, this is fun. but there was one riff in it that I listened to the song 3-4 times only because I was trapped in a wormhole trying to figure out where this riff, because there's a riff that like is in it that sounds like another song by someone that I really listen to that might be in a skate punk band, like that it like does. So I was like, that caught me. I'm gonna try to figure it out. So I will let you know when I figure out what that riff sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did like this. Thanks, Em.
Hey, for sure. We have the plethora of cool Canadian stuff.
Yes, John. This is not trash.
Yeah, this is the opposite of garbage. Yes. John, what did you make a harsh?
I'm still mad about Hollywood Vampires. No, I thought it was cool. I like that. It was fun, fast, and wacky, and that's all the stuff that I like. We've got one more story here, The Hives. They've announced their first album in a while, I think.
11 years.
It's called The Death of Randy Fitzsimmons, and it will be out August 11th. The debut track was Bogus Operandi, and let's see, who's this out via? Let's see, because Hives were like huge for a while. Is this major label? Let's see here. This is out via Swedish Service Company, but I wonder who it is in the USA. Well, I'll look that up while we discuss this. And more, The Hives.
Yes.
What do you think?
Okay, The Hives are a band where it's, I know a handful of songs and I like the songs, but I haven't like dove deep into The Hives. And this makes me want to do that because I love this song. I have listened to this song at least 6 times today, and I freaking love the video. The video is amazing. Okay, so first of all, they released a video called RxFX that was like a couple minutes or maybe 2 minutes, not even 2 minutes long, where it shows the band with shovels. They're in long black hooded raincoats. They bury some cassette tapes in the woods and they're like driving and stuff. And then the video for Bogus Operandi, they are like driving. Someone's dog digs up like a cassette tape. They pick up the cassette tape, they say the name, and it acts like the Necronomicon in Evil Dead, and they turn into a deadite. Like they have their eyes are white and they get all like, you know, like it's super cool. And they go through the town and like they're changing all the people into deadites and they're like exploding and like bloody messes and whatever. And the band are just like driving to their cabin in the woods, drinking some tea, like having fun. And they all get infected because the spirit gets in and, you know, messes up. And one like gets stabbed with a bottle and the other one like gets poisoned by the sugar in his tea. And like one guy is like, I'm gonna get in the car and I'm gonna get away, and then he gets killed by a spoon and they all turn into deadites and they all like change into these freaking awesome suits. Like they're black suits with these like lightning bolts that like glow in the dark, and it's like, I want one of those suits. And they're dancing and they're playing in like the basement, and it just looks so fucking cool and so fun. And with the video too, like one of the big things that Evil Dead like pioneered was that camera shot, like going through the woods. Like the director talked about it, where it's like, yeah, we strapped a camera to a motorcycle to get that shot in the first Evil Dead movie. And like to see that shot being used so much throughout it is just like, oh my god, it's so nice. Like it's a love letter to Evil Dead. They have things like flying around again. Like the makeup is amazing, the effects are so good. So the video sold it. Like the song rocks. I like the song kicks ass, but like holy shit, the video. And like the new Evil Dead's out now, the new movie. I haven't seen it. It's on my list. I want to see it, but it's just so good. So hell yeah, I'm checking this album out. I want to dive deep more into The Hives. And then I was reading too, I think that the name of the album, like they found an obit, or they found like just this name on a headstone and we're like, we need to know this man's story, and then kind of built off from there, which is pretty cool. So yeah, that's my Hives journey. It's awesome. So Yeah. If you see me, hopefully I'll be wearing one of those suits and dancing, like, just letting loose.
Similar to the story that Em just told, of course, this might resonate with Sam better, maybe not. The Ben Folds 5 unauthorized biography of Reinhold Messner was a name he made up, and then it turned out there was a Reinhold Messner that did have an autobiography, and they had to sort that out. And Sam, go ahead.
Oh, shit.
So
right, cool. Trippy, right?
That's super so trippy. Cool. So the Hives, I remember being at my best friend's pool, like when I was in high school, and her putting on the Hives like all the freaking time, because I think the popular album like came out around the time I was in high school or something like that. So the Hives has always been in my life somehow. I don't listen to the Hives all the time. I actually did go see the Hives when them and Refuse came around to do their Swedish screaming tour in 2019. Like we drove down to Philly for the day, and I think I actually hit up John, but John was probably doing some record thing. Wait, sounds about right.
You mean when it was Refuse and Hives?
Yeah, it was Refuse and Hives at Franklin Music Hall.
I was living in the Bay Area in California at that point.
Wait, in 2019?
Oh, no. I meant like 2010. I guess I did it twice.
Oh, yeah, no. So, basically, I would have
that was
to
lame,
say...
That was lame of me to blow you off, Sam. I can't imagine where I was. That was lame of me.
No, I think you had something to do. We're damn adults, John. It's fine.
Let me see. Hives Refused, 2019. Philadelphia. Let me see what day that was, and I'll see where I was. Let's see, May 21, 2000. Oh, I was in Las Vegas for punk rock bowling. That's a pretty good excuse.
Okay, yeah, like I said, there was an excuse. Okay,
that's a pretty good. See, you got to give it to me. That's a good excuse.
No, that is an excellent excuse. It's totally fine.
And then I saw Refused at punk rock bowling, and I was underwhelmed.
Well. That's a conversation for a different day, I guess. But the Hives, this was beautifully shot, this music video.
Oh, yeah.
The storyline in this damn thing was so interesting. They, like, I love the fact that they turned into these paranormal zombie things. I don't even know what they are called. I love the fact that things are just, like, floating around. I do love these suits. So if M finds one, we're buying a matching set, and we're just like wear them randomly. Maybe like take photos of like M and Sam at random places in this like weird suit thing. It might be an Instagram thing. I don't know, you guys. We come up with a lot of weird ideas and none of it sticks. But
this will.
Hopefully this will.
Yes.
But yes, I did see that there was a lot of like Evil Dead like things. I'm glad you actually like brought that up, because it was like I was like sitting here watching, like going, wow, I really love this band. This band also, I think historically, has always had like a group uniform type of thing going on. So I did love the fact that they all had like matching sweaters and now these matching suits and like, you know, all this stuff. I'm not necessarily into gore, so I think there was a tasteful amount of fake blood or blood in general spewed at things. I'll take that. When this album comes out, I don't know if I'm going to actually pick it up and listen to it. Maybe I'll listen to it once. Maybe you guys need to remind me to listen to it, because I have been listening to 90s alt rock recently. maybe this fits into that. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I found this really, really fun.
This rocks. I dug it. I thought it was real cool. I thought it was real fun. It's got a lot of riffs, a lot of shouting, a lot of screaming. It's got energy. It's funny. It's amusing. It's a rock band rocking out and having fun, but with some brains. And I definitely dug it. And I thought it was real cool. Let's wrap this all up. We'll play some Hives on the way out. But and more. Anything you want the listeners to know about or think about or otherwise?
Go read my interview with Harry of Death Goals. That's up on Punk News right now. It fucking rocks. It's one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. Amazing person, amazing band. Go listen to their album.
Kick Sammy ass. B, well said. Be sure to check out M's interview. M's been doing some killer interviews lately. Sammy B, any closing words for the listeners for this week?
Don't be racist. It is AAPI month. So be good to each other and respect each other. And also do not feed deers at NARA. They are evil sometimes.
And this is The Hives, and we'll see you next week. And this is me talking like Casey Kasem. And we'll see you next week.